The Three Bidders, a True Incident in the Life of Rowland Hill. Will you listen, friends, a moment while a story I unfold, a marvellous tale of a wonderful sale of a noble lady of old, how hand and heart and an auction mart, soul and body, she was sold. 'Twas in the broad King's Highway, near a century ago, that a preacher stood, though of noble blood, telling the fallen and low, of a Saviour's love and a home above, and a peace that they all might know. All crowded around to listen, they wept at the wondrous love that could wash their sin and receive them in his spotless mansions above, while slow through a crowd a lady proud her gilded chariot drove. "Make room," cried the haughty outrider, "you're closing the King's Highway. My lady is late, and their majesties wait. Give way, good people, I pray." The preacher heard, his soul was stirred, and he cried to the rider, "Nay." His eye like the lightning flashes, his voice like a trumpet rings, "Your grand fete days and your fashions and ways are all but perishing things. 'Tis the King's Highway, but I hold it today in the name of the King of Kings." Then, bending his gaze on the lady, and marking her soft eye fall, "And now in his name a sale I proclaim, and bids for this lady call. Who will purchase the whole, her body and soul, coronet, jewels, and all? I see already three bidders, the world steps up as the first. I will give her my treasures and all the pleasures for which my votaries thirst. She shall dance each day more joyous and gay, with a quiet grave at the worst." But out spake the devil boldly, "The kingdoms of the earth are mine. Fair lady, thy name with an envied fame on their brightest tablet shall shine. Only give me thy soul, and I give thee the whole, their glory and wealth to be thine. And pray what thou hast to offer, thou man of sorrows unknown." And he gently said, "My blood I have shed to purchase her for mine own, to conquer the grave and her soul to save. I trod the winepress alone. I will give her my cross of suffering, my cup of sorrow to share, but with an endless love in my home above, all shall be righted there. She shall walk in light in a robe of white, and a radiant crown shall wear." "Thou hast heard the terms, fair lady, that each hath offered for thee. Which wilt thou choose, and which wilt thou lose, this life, or the life to be? The fable was mine, but the choice is yet thine, sweet lady, which of the three?" "Pardon, good people," she whispered, as she rose from her cushioned seat. Full well, they say, as the crowd made way, you could hear her pulses beat. And each head was bare as the lady fair moved to the preacher's feet. She took from her hands the jewels, the coronet from her brow. "Lord Jesus," she said, as she bowed her head, "the highest bidder art thou. Thou gavest for my sake thy life, and I take thy offer, and take it now. I know the world and her pleasures, at best they are weary and cloy, and the tempter is bold, but his honours and gold prove ever a fatal decoy. I long for thy rest, thy bid is the best. Lord, I accept it with joy." "Amen," said the noble preacher, and the people wept aloud. Years have rolled on, and they all have gone who formed that awestruck crowd. Lady and throng have been swept along on the wind like a morning cloud. But the Saviour has claimed his purchase, and around his radiant seat a mightier throng in a joyful song the wondrous story repeat. And a form more fair is bending there, laying her crown at his feet. The Old House. I hail once more my natal day, still in my tenement of clay, with every favour blessed. But he who placed the structure here can prop it up another year if he should think it best. Long has it stood through snows and rains and braved life's fiercest hurricanes, while many a stronger fell. The reason why we cannot see, but what to us seems mystery, the builder knows full well. Its tottering pillars now are weak, its poor old rusty hinges creak, its windows too are dim. But let defects, discomforts pass, for looking darkly through the glass, I catch a hopeful gleam. Nature and Scripture tell us all, this withered frame at last must fall, though when or how unknown. I leave that to the architect, and trust his wisdom to direct the taking of it down. And when you see it prostrate lie, let not sad tears bedim your eye, the tenant is not here. For just beyond time's little space, she's found with Christ a resting place, no more to date her year. And when she walks with you no more, the world will move just as before, 'tis meet it should be so. Let each his house in order set, that he may leave without regret, when called upon to go. Eternity by James Boyd. Eternity, what mind begirt by thrall of creature limits shall thy greatness grasp, thou dread reality? And dread thou art, when first thy form falls full upon the heart, and we discover that no creature clasp secures the ponderous portal of thy wall. And that release from thy vast searchless hold, for those who enter never more can be. Thy wastes are infinite, the state of those inhabiting thy depths change never knows, nor can one hopeless soul return from thee to time which ceaselessly doth change unfold. Past thou hast not, future thou dost not know, hence we perceive not thy mysterious way, for clothed in flesh upon the flowing stream of time we pass along, and like a dream fly moments, hours, and change of night and day, hope, disappointment, happiness, and woe. But in thy depths inscrutable and vast, the vain excitements of our little life, the undulations, feverish hopes and fears, the summers and the winters of its years, sunshine and shadow, quietude and strife, are all unknown. We enter their past. The present moment mentioned while we speak, far fled the instant, is beyond recall, nor can the cunning and inventive mind a fetter forge the fugitive to bind, and hold it ever motionless in thrall, and thus the onward drift of ages break. The home of the eternal God art thou, thy borders vast he sees and fills, and we who had beginning, and who have to do with time and chance and change and frailty too, must soon lift up our wondering eyes in thee, and look abroad from an eternal now. Time is a creature, thou art increate, end and beginning are to thee unknown. An endless present thou dost moveless stand, with past and future gathered in thy hand, forward and backward thus together thrown, both in one everlasting present meet. Fixed is the state of all who darkly steer their shallop through the shadows cast across thy silent coast, where terror holds his seat, and whether love or hatred them shall meet, or mirth or mourning come, or gain or loss, the chimes of change no more shall greet the ear. And bright or dark art thou, as throbs the heart responsive to unfathomable love, God's love declared in death the death of Christ, whose blood was shed to save us, and disprice by all his own the wealth of worlds above. This bids thy fear, eternity, depart. Each heart throb brings me nearer unto thee, and shakes another grain out of my sand. Each breath I draw makes less my little store. I almost seem to stand within thy door, and breathe the perfume of Emmanuel's land, for thou canst bring no terror unto me. While thus my mind was musing, I beheld, and lo, a darkness dense and horrible as Egypt's plague, wound nature in a cloak of inky blackness, and that instant broke the chords of order, and from every hill the death of time with muffled music swelled, and lo, a mighty sound as if had spoke 10,000 thunders, or the awful voice of the Omnipotent commanding loud the whole creation, and the heavy shroud of sable midnight shuddered at the noise, and every string of gravitation broke. And o'er my head the firmament with sound more awful than the awe-inspiring roar of a rent world burst sudden forth aflame, and the wide earth with all its works became molten with fervent heat to the deep core, and to its limits girt with fire around. And, like a guilty, conscious creature, stung by the rebuke of righteousness, I saw the ponderous planet from its orbit reel, as reels a drunkard and bewildered wheel wide out into the black night, loosed from law, and like a torch into the darkness flung. And I beheld a throne of spotless white, a throne of righteousness for judgment set, the great dread throne of the Omnipotent, from which no kindly eye of mercy bent. A glance of pity, and the eye but met stern truth and justice on the left and right. No precious blood crimsoned that burnished seat, which flashed as though 10,000 suns did flame together in one blaze of glory. No fair hope-inspiring emerald-circling bow, Creator mercy plenteous to proclaim, shot from the cloud the affrighted gaze to greet. Around, enveloped with devouring flame, fierce burned the righteousness of that dread throne. Upon it sat the judge of all the dead, whiter than light his robe. Upon his head his hair was like to pure white wool, upon his brow was many a glorious diadem. A fiery stream before him went, around his person myriads of celestials bright, strong angels, cherubim with awful mien, in wrathful lightnings robed, the blinding sheen of their red armour, mingled with the might of their deep thundering, held me terror-bound. Voices I heard arise, as though the whole created universe at once had been transformed into a mighty organ, whose strains by a master player's magic rose in one all-glorious and triumphant pean, which moved the very marrow of my soul, till every living thing took up the strain to the vast limits of the realm of God, and every substance echoed back the sound as rolled the everlasting psalm around, than thunder louder yet so sweet it flowed, all might and glory to the Lamb once slain. Upon that throne no dazzling seraph sat, no minister of might in angel guise, no spirit ethereal to manifest the secrets of the human heart, but dressed in bone and flesh the judge in this assize, the Son of Man in power and splendour great. And to myself I said, is this the man once born of parents poor in Bethlehem, who trod earth's rough highway reproach defamed, a man of sorrows set at naught and named, a friend of sinners and reproach by them, whose hearts his searching eye this day shall scan? Was his the hand that touched the leper vile, and made the outcast and afflicted clean? Were those the feet that, dust besprent and sore, brought God's salvation to the sinner's door, and washed with tears of penitence have been by those whose hearts his grace had freed from guile? Ah, yes, the Nazarene, I know, 'tis he, once mocked with purple robe and crown of thorn, reviled, rejected, vilified, unknown, arraigned as malefactor at the throne of Herod, covered with reproach and scorn, condemned and hanged upon the accursed tree. The print of nail deep marking hands and feet, the spear wound in his side by which deep scar the unbelieving weak disciple knew his risen Lord and Master, still I view. 'Tis he, the judge of all, who to his bar doth summon man his final doom to meet. And as the earth with fierce convulsions torn, and quenchless fires devouring all her zones, flies from his face, the shivering dead in crowds disgorge from ocean beds where tangled shrouds had draped in caverns deep the whitening bones, like felons now before their judge are born. I see them come, the man who did the first, if not the foulest murder, and the last of Adam's race, who, caring not to know the grace of God, iniquity would sow, yet had not dreamed that such a harvest vast upon his resurrected eyes would burst. They come, the giants and the mighty men who fill the earth with violence and wrong, the monstrous issue of that godless yoke, when sons of God restraint of heaven broke, and left their own abode to dwell among earth's daughters fair, begetting monsters then. They come, the lawless host so well forewarned by Enoch's mouth, and later by the man who moved by fear prepared his house to save, an ark of refuge, when the whelming wave was ready to destroy the race which ran in wilful ways, and heaven's threatening scorn. But perished all in that distressful day, in which God's hand most mercifully closed the house of Noah in the gopher ark, ere rolled across the face of heaven the dark and dusky cloud, which all its waters loosed, as every door of the great deep gave way. And from above fierce floods, floods from beneath, clashing together, roaring wild with rage, foam-capped with fury, buried fathoms deep the summit of the most exalted steep, and from the sickening, sin-polluted stage, perished all things that breathed of life the breath. They come, the Babel builders long entombed, the demon worshippers are there who saw the faithful Abraham from his country flee, called by the living God in grace to be his witness in a world despising law, when righteous wrath through the deep darkness gloomed. They come, the Sodomites, from fire to fire, from one deep hell into a deeper driven, from thunderbolt and flame and brimstone rain, heaven's wrath upon the cities of the plain, to deeper judgment, and that pit wrath-riven, the waveful storehouse of almighty ire. They come, the swarthy Canaanites, the sons of Anak, men like Og of Bashan, huge from spacious grave, left gaping deep and wide, as though some power prodigious from earth's side a rock had torn, nor power nor subterfuge can shelter in this day their giant bones. They come from earth's dark places which had fame for barbarous deeds and cruelties of yore, men like Adonai Bezek, who once fed 70 maimed kings, who gathered bread beneath his table, grovelling on the floor like dogs to find the morsel thrown to them. They come, the host of Pharaoh from the sea, from underneath the broken chariots thrown in slimy depths and beds of dank seaweed, where horse and horseman sank, as Israel freed stood on the desert shore, and heard the groan of myriads turning all too late to flee. They come, the faithless sons of Israel, whose carcasses were strewn upon the sand of all their desert wanderings, who found the bread of angels white upon the ground, and ate and drank from God's own bounteous hand, but, lusting after Egypt's flesh-pots, fell. Balaam and Balak, false unrighteous seer, who shall promote thee now? The king no more houses of silver and gold commands. Naked as thou the son of Zippor stands, and thou art poor indeed, thou wouldst of yore for gold have cursed, that curse now thou must hear. There Amalek, Moab, Midian from their coasts, now Edom, Tyre, and Sidon I descry. The granite hills ope wide their ponderous doors, the expiring planet sweats at all her pores, tides of humanity, and to the eye seems fast dissolving into human hosts. They come, the rebel line of Israel's kings, one here and there of David's royal seat mingles with that despairing multitude. And there is Jezebel, with hands imbrued in murder, and her priests who death did meet by great Elijah's sword at Kishon Springs. There come Belshazzar's Bacchalian guests, who shuddering saw the hand write on the wall. And that same night the Medo-Persian heel fell on their necks, while through their hearts the steel of the Almighty's vengeance ran, and all fell with the revel rampant in their breasts. And many, many numbered now and brought to a conclusion, Tekel wanting found, the sentence of high heaven's insulted lord, brought to their drunken throats the glittering sword. Now judgment without mercy must expound to them what further Tekel might have taught. There is fierce Antiochus, smeared with gore, the gore of saints on whom his rage did roll hell's cruelties. There Herod, with the cries of slaughtered infants, and the sobs and sighs of Rachel's lamentations in his soul, heard high above the earth's discordant roar. The tyrant Nero, with the deep red glare of lofty mountains flaming in his face, leaps yonder from his bed. Madman, what now? Where is thy heart, ruthless destroyer thou, nor martyrs' bodies lighting up thy place, nor Rome ablaze could with this sight compare. Roman and Greek are there, and by the side of Macedonian hasten to the bar, the Arab, Turk, Egyptian, freeman, slave, sovereign and subject, statesman, knight and knave, the man of peace, the man of blood and war, base-born and noble, absent none may bide. They come from Afric's jungles, from the banks of Congo, from the sources of the Nile, and Niger, where the devil ruled unmasked, and men weltered in filth, and no man asked after the living God, but all were vile. Like smoke I see afar their dusky ranks. From crypt, from catacomb, from waste they rise, from the deep ditch, from neath the sculptured stone, from churchyard's peaceful quiet, from the pit dug by the murderer, whose dark deed was lit by the pale moon, from corners dark and lone, summoned they come to this the last assize. The slayer and his victim, each in guilt matured, come forth. The drunkard in his grave, with sudden start, hears the commanding tones of that dread voice, which moves the mouldering bones, and wakes the desperate suicide, who drave deep through his heart the cold steel to the hilt. They come, who saw the Christ on earth, who heard his heavenly voice, and saw his works of love, his power put forth to rescue man from all the fatal fruits of his unhappy fall, but labor lost,